take your Bible tonight and turn to Matthew chapter 28. Usually when we go to Matthew chapter 28, we go right down to verse 19 and 20. We'll get to the end of verse. We'll get to the end of that in the end of the message. But tonight we're going to start verse number 16. Verse number 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you tonight for your word. And Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would open the word of God to us. Lord, open our eyes and our hearts that we might just behold wondrous things out of thy law, Lord. And just may your Spirit just guide us into all truth, comfort us, strengthen us. Lord, do the work that you would purpose to do in each one of our lives tonight. Lord, may we come with hearts that are receptive, meekness, submissive to your word, Lord, understanding that this is the very words of God Almighty. And we'll thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Back in Matthew chapter 27, or actually Matthew chapter 26, Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread with the disciples, just as we spent time Sunday night remembering. Then the Bible says in verse number 30 that after that, that when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Jesus' words did not cease at that Last Supper, but he continued to go on and speak to his disciples. In verse 31, then said Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the shepherd and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But then he said this, but after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. You go over to Matthew chapter 28, and it's important. It's important to notice and understand that Jesus told his disciples, he says, after I rise again, I will go before you into Galilee. Matthew chapter 28, when Jesus has risen from the grave and the women come to the tomb, and in verse number 5, the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He's not here, for he's risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. They departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there they shall see me. There shall they see me. Jesus said to his disciples, after I'm risen again, I will go before you into Galilee, and you'll see me. When the ladies come to the tomb, the message is not just that Jesus is risen, but go tell the disciples that I will go before them in Galilee, and there they will see me. Jesus then meets the two ladies and says the same thing. He says, tell the brethren, I go before you into Galilee, and you shall see me. And in Matthew chapter 28, verse number 16, it tells us, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. Now, there's a time frame in between here. They did not immediately go to Galilee, for Jesus would meet with them several times, and it would be a couple of weeks before they would go into Galilee, but at some point in time, and by the way, Matthew 28, 19 through 20 is not the final words of Jesus Christ before he ascends back into heaven. It's before that. But at some time frame, probably, oh, at least a couple of weeks, probably three weeks after Jesus had risen from the grave, the disciples said, we need to go to Galilee. And the Bible says that these disciples, the 11 disciples, they went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And so as we begin tonight, I want you to stop and consider something. The disciples left Jerusalem, and they went over 100 miles to where Jesus told them to go. 100 miles. Put that in perspective now. Their transportation was their feet. 100 miles. That's Boston or New York. In fact, it's on the 113, really. Give or take one or two here. But that's the north side of Boston, or the middle of Bronx, Brooklyn. Now, if you figure on foot, I mean, I just went on Google Maps and said directions from Jerusalem to where they went. And, you know, by car, it's, just 2.5-3 hours. By foot, it's at least 33, 34 hours or more. And so they left, and they went over 112 miles, maybe 13. And where'd they go? They went to, look what it says. They went to the mountain where Jesus had appointed them. Now, many scholars believe this is Mount Herbal over in Galilee, that is a high mountain that looks over the Sea of Galilee, looks over everything. No one can be quite certain, but it was a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. Back in, or over in the Gospel of Luke chapter 6, it tells us that Jesus went out into this mountain and spent all night in prayer. And in the morning, he called his disciples to him, and he chose 12 of them and sent them out. And so they went over 100 miles to see Jesus. You know, stop and think. That's a lot of walking. It's a lot of time. 11 disciples, 11 men who had been with Christ for the past 3 years. And he said, I'll go before you into Galilee, and you'll see me there. I wonder what their conversation was about. I wonder what they talked about on the way for all those hours as they walked roads up and down along the Sea of Galilee, beyond Tiberias, to the base of this mountain, and then they climbed this mountain that overlooked everything, where Jesus Christ said he would meet with them. You know, the Bible tells us that we're called as well. We were called by the Lord Jesus Christ, weren't we? Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We were called, 1 Peter chapter 2. We were called out of darkness unto his marvelous light. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We were called by the grace of God into the fellowship of his dear Son. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 10. By his grace we are called unto eternal glory. Is it any wonder why Paul would write in Philippians chapter 3, in Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 20, and he would say, our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. sometimes think that we are just over and over again too consumed and too busy and too caught up with the things of this world, when we should be caught up with the things of eternity. And so they walked and they talked and they walked and they talked. Hours, hours. And they probably spent a few nights here and there on the road. And I'm sure their conversation was about the Lord Jesus Christ. He told us to go there. He told us he'd go before us. He told us we would see him. He told us he would meet with us. He told us we're going to see Jesus again. We're going to see Jesus. Folks, that ought to be our conversation. He told us he's coming again. He told us we're going to see him. We're going to be like him because we're going to see him face to face. And I'm sure as they got closer, the anticipation built. What will he say? What will it be like? What will take place? And so in verse number 16, they go to this mountain where Jesus had appointed them. But look at verse number 17. This is the 11 disciples now. Jesus said, you go to Galilee, where I appointed you. I'll meet you there. I'll be there. And when they saw him, now it doesn't give us any details into how they met him or how he met them. But it says, when they saw him, amazing, when they saw him, they worshiped him. That's not the amazing piece of this verse. It says, but some doubted. Some doubted. When they saw him, they worshiped. But then it says, out of these 11 disciples, for in verse number 16, it's very clear, the 11 disciples worshiped him, but some of them doubted. Now, I can assure you tonight from my study of the scriptures, I can almost 100% guarantee it wasn't Peter. I can probably pretty much guarantee it wasn't Thomas, wasn't James, wasn't John. But I'm not sure which ones the other ones it was. You see, there were some of them that had already gotten in their hearts the message that the Lord wanted them to get and was going to give them one more time on this mountain. And some of them didn't. And it's a message that has the power to make a difference in your life. And so look with me tonight at three other times where very specifically the Lord met with these men to give them the same message that could affect their lives dramatically. Go back to John chapter 20. By the way, I already told Pastor Donnie that I was cutting into his territory as he's been going through the Gospel of John, but I figured we got a couple years before he gets to chapter 20, so... But John chapter 20. Well, go to John chapter 21 and verse number 14. John is very clear. John says, this is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So there's three times here in John chapter 20 and verse and 21, three times where Jesus showed himself to his disciples. In fact, in John chapter 21, it says, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed himself. And I believe in verse number 1 and verse number 14, John is letting us know that these were not just random occurrences. They were not just insignificant meetings that the Lord Jesus Christ had with these disciples. But each one of these times that Jesus met with the disciples, he was giving them the same message to address areas of their life and build them up in the grace and knowledge of himself, as it says over in 1 Peter. And so we're going to look just briefly at these three times, and I'd encourage you to study them on your own. But the first one's in John chapter 20, on the resurrection day. It's the evening, and look at John chapter 20 and verse number 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. You know the first time when Jesus met with these disciples, you know what he was answering? He came to them when they were fearful. Look what it says. The same day, at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. Jesus came to them when they were afraid. You know, before Jesus went to the cross, when he started really talking with the disciples and encouraging and comforting the disciples in John 14, what did he say? Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And here, after he's risen from the grave, after he has shown himself risen from the grave, he's risen from the grave, the disciples are got themselves locked up in a room because they're afraid of the Jews. And Jesus comes to them. And what does he do? He stands in their midst. He just stood there in their midst. And he simply said, peace be unto you. Just like when Jesus was with those disciples in the boat, and the storm was raging, and he stood up and said, peace be still, and he commanded the wind and the sea to stop, and it stopped. Here in their lives where they were afraid, they were fearful, Jesus came to them. He just came, stood right there, and said, peace be unto you. You know why? Because Jesus knew that his presence could calm their hearts. And Jesus knows every one of us. And he knows your heart tonight. There may be something that's troubling you. Might be something you're just fearing or afraid of. Or you're looking to the future and you're afraid. You're fearful. Jesus came to these disciples when they were fearful, and he said, peace. He's got it all under control. He says, I've risen from the grave. That's the first time. The second time is 8 days later. Verse 26, after 8 days again, his disciples were within and Thomas with them, then came Jesus, the doors being shut. Look what it says. He just stood in their midst and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger. Behold my hands, reach hither thy hand and thrust it in my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. And Jesus said to him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Second time, Jesus comes. You know when he came this time? When they were faithless. He said to Thomas, Be not faithless, but believing. He came when they were doubting, when their faith was weak, when they were struggling in believing God and believing Christ. These are the disciples. He's not coming. He's not standing in the midst of an unsaved group of people. He's standing in the midst of a group of people that said, We know that thou art the Son of God. And we believe you have the words of eternal life. And yet Thomas said, If I don't see his hands and his feet. Thomas said, Except I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hands into his side, I will not believe. And what does he say to Thomas? Let me boil it down to you. He says, Thomas, behold my hands. Hey, meditate on that for a while. Meditate on that this week before Sunday morning. He did not say, behold the nails. He said, behold my hands. I'll give you something to chew on before Sunday morning. Why in all four Gospels is there no account of the hands of Jesus Christ being pierced? It did happen. But prayerfully meditate on that before Sunday morning. He says, Behold my hands. There's a reason for that, a biblical, a strong reason for it. But he says, Behold my hands. In other words, he's saying to Thomas, Look it. I died for you, and I'm alive. You can believe me. Look at me. I'm alive. The same one that died for you is alive. I'm the living Savior. Believe me. And he came to them when they were faithless, when they were doubting, when they were struggling to believe. And he said, Be not faithless, but believing. But there's one more in John 21. John 21 says, After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples of the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go fishing. They say, And we also go with thee. And by the way, notice, just reckon it up. Simon Peter, Thomas, Nathanael, sons of Zebedee, that's James and John, and two other of his disciples. That's why I firmly believe that when you come to Matthew chapter 28, these men had gotten the message by now in their hearts. These ones that were here on the Sea of Tiberias. And this third time where the Lord Jesus Christ would speak to them. But they said, I go fishing. And they said, We'll go with you, Peter. And they went forth and entered into a ship immediately. And that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, check it out. Who's standing on the shore? Jesus. Jesus stood on the shore. You know, the Bible says they were, when they were out on the ship, says they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, and I think that's somewhere around 100 yards. About 100 yards out. You can imagine that here it is morning, and this doesn't say there was any storm. They're out fishing, and they've been out all night fishing, caught nothing. In other words, we could say he came to them when they were fishing, but really ought to say he came to them when they were failing. They were failing. They caught nothing. They caught nothing. And then as the sun began to dawn, and over the calmness of that sea, they heard a gentle, loving, kind voice, tender voice. Not a loud, challenging, but a tender voice say, "Children, children, once again, my lambs, children, have any meat?" And they answer him, "No." And he says, "Well, cast your net on the right side." They cast the net on the right side, and they caught 153 fish. Their net was full. And John, that disciple whom Jesus loved, said to Peter, "It's the Lord." And what does Peter do? Peter said, "It's the Lord." He just tears out of that boat. He just jumps out of that boat. Gets 100 yards to shore. And what does he find? He finds a fire already there on the shore. Coals, fish, and bread already prepared, already cooked, already there. And they bring that net to shore, and they bring all those fish to shore. And Jesus said, "Bring of the fish which ye have now caught." And Simon Peter went up in verse 11. He drew the net to land full of great fish and 153. And for all there were so many, yet his net was the net broken. And then Jesus said unto him, "Come and dine." And he didn't take of the fish that they caught. Even though he was giving them a message there that if they want success in their life, it's through him. But here in this passage of Scripture, he says, "Come and dine. Come and dine. You've been all night out there by yourself. You've been struggling out there in the dark, in the deep, trying to catch fish. I know it," he says. "And I'm right here." And he says, "Now I invite you to come and dine. Come and dine at what I prepared for you. Come and dine with the food, the meal that I have, off the coals that I've lit, the fire that I've started. And let me feed you. And let me satisfy you." You see, three times Jesus Christ was meeting with his disciples. And the message, go back to Matthew chapter 28 now. The message was the same. Oh, the circumstances were a little different. In the first instance, they were fearful. Jesus comes and stands in their midst and says, "Peace be unto you." The second time, they were faithless. And Jesus stands in their midst and says, "Behold my hands." The third time, they're out thinking they're all alone. And when they look up in the morning, Jesus is standing right there on the shore. Right there on the shore with a meal all cooked, fire all ready. And he says, "Come and dine." You see, the message is the same. Matthew chapter 28, very last words. "Lo," let me just stop for a minute. "Lo, I am with you always." That word "lo" takes the word "behold" to a level of urgency. It's imperative. Jesus could have just said, "Behold, I am with you always." But he said, "Lo." In other words, that's an imperative tense in that word. That means this is something that is urgent, that is important, that you can't miss, that you must get, that you must hear, you must hearken. Why? Because it is the difference maker in your life. And what is it? The presence of Jesus Christ. Jesus, lo, I am with you always. You know, you could go all the way back to Joshua chapter 1 and verse number 5, verse number 9, where the Lord would say to Joshua, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Be strong and of good courage. He says, I will never leave you. I will not fail you. Matthew 28, he's reminding them of the lesson which he sought to teach them, and some of them had already gotten it, but he was telling them once again, so the others that hadn't yet gotten the message down into the heart, they had heard it in their head, but it hadn't reached their heart. And Jesus said, lo, listen, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 5. It would be said once again, Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. But if I might take your attention just for one moment back, all the way back to the book of Exodus, all the way back to the book of Exodus, chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33. God spoke to Joshua and said, as I said to Moses, as I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. He's saying the same thing to disciples. As I was with Moses, as I was with Joshua, I will be with you. I am with you. Now, he didn't say, excuse me. That was a big error in words. He did not say, I will be with you. He says, I am with you. Big difference. Sorry. He said, I am with you. Always. Go to Exodus 33. Exodus 33 and verse 13. This is after Israel had sinned, when Moses comes down off the mount and Moses has prayed and sought the Lord. But verse 13. Now, therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now the way, thy way. Show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I might find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And look at what the Lord said. Basically, the Lord is saying, this is my way. My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And Moses says, he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up thence. Hence. But look at verse 16. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. You know what Moses is saying there? Moses is saying this. Moses is saying, you know what makes us different from all the rest of the people in the world? The presence of the Lord in our lives. The presence of the Lord in our lives. Moses says, this is what separates us from the rest of the world. The rest of the world doesn't know your presence. Moses says, if we don't have your presence, and Moses says, you've said that we found grace. You've said that you know me. Show me thy way. In fact, there's three things here in Exodus 33. Show me thy way, show me thy presence, and show me thy glory. And Moses says, your presence, knowing your presence, being aware of your presence in our lives is what makes a difference between us and the rest of the world that knows nothing about you. And that has not changed. The difference maker in your life tonight, the difference maker in my life tonight, is the presence of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said to his disciples, I want you to know this. He says, I want you to get this. This is urgent. This is imperative. This is of the utmost urgency that you would know I am with you. If you're afraid, listen. Jesus will calm your heart if you let him. If you're faithless, Jesus will strengthen your heart if you'll let him. If you're fishing, or let's just put it bluntly, if you're flunking, failing, Jesus will fill your heart with his fellowship. And he'll satisfy your soul. So my question tonight is, where are you tonight? Where are you tonight? Are you fearful? Are you faithless? Are you fishing? Jesus says, I'm here. I'm with you. I'm with you. Let me calm your heart. Let me strengthen your heart. Let me satisfy your heart with my presence, because there's nothing else, but there is Jesus. Let's pray.